Thank you, Tel. I'd like to commend you on something. And I've had enough time to observe it, even though I'm home just short time. But I can remember 35 years ago and before that, when we used to come out here, there were always children here, and there were always young people at the services, whether it was the morning or the evening. Now, I don't know what ingredient you have out here, but I want to commend you. Keep it going. What a joy it is to see children, young people, at an evening service, because this is not common today. And for you young people and children who come, I hope you'll always carry on, if it's a tradition or whatever it is, keep coming. And I hope that you'll learn more of the glorious love of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that this person that you were hearing about tonight might be precious to you, because you're exposed to so much, and you have a great life ahead of you to serve for Jesus Christ. And I've always been, and Ruth too, we've always noticed it. When I walked in here tonight again, I thought, look at that, on a Sunday evening. I don't know what's on television tonight back here, but I'm sure there's something that you'd like to be seeing, but you came here. And I know you didn't come just to hear me, so you must be doing it all the time, and that's great. Because I don't have a great deal to tell you about Alaska. You see, Alaska is such a wonderful place that I couldn't begin to have the time to tell you of the joys of it all. But anyway, we've been there now for, we just finished 34 years, and there's a very active assembly there. And our ministry in the early years was mostly with children and young people, but that has changed. Yes, we've always been involved in camp work, but now our ministry is more with the older ones? You see, we're the oldest ones up there in that little church. And so most of our ministry for the last number of years has been speaking, ministering the Word of God, and visiting and counseling and doing some of those things. So we don't have any great things to report of what we're doing. We're just staying by the stuff and ministering as the Lord leads us. And the Lord has blessed, and we're very happy to say that there is a healthy work going on, and we leave it now. And we have just chosen for a time, as the Lord opened a door for us, just to be away from there for at least a year. And we'd like to have just a little change in the weather. And we'll be going to a new ministry for a short period. And if we ever come across your mind, why, we would certainly value your prayers as we minister to the people in Hawaii. It's on the Big Island. If you ever get over there for a trip or whatever, why, please give us a call. And we'll have a number in the phone book over there that you can call, and you come and visit us. Now, I'd like to just speak for a few moments tonight. I'm trying to pick up something that we could follow on with as we were talking about the glory of the Lord. So I'd like to turn you to the 17th chapter of the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 17. I love the Gospels. I love, of course, the Word of God, but something about the Gospels and the journeys and the teaching of the Lord Jesus means a great deal to me, as does the Apostle Paul. But there are so many things that we learn from his teaching. And the Lord gave us the opportunity in the last few years to go over to Israel to spend a little time on several occasions. And one was on a study trip. And I just so much appreciated being there in the area where things took place in Bible times, and it helped me to be able to relate it a little differently. Before, it was just over in Palestine or Israel, but it has been brought closer to me, and I think I can truthfully say it is far more meaningful to me as I just relate some of these places and some of the areas. Even the geography is interesting to just see that you can understand what they're talking about a little bit better in the New Testament. And this happens to be one of those places where the Lord was just visiting at a place called Caesarea Philippi. And then in a short time, he went to a high mountain, which is probably Mount Hermon, which is just north of there a few miles. And at this place, the Lord Jesus was transfigured before his disciples. So let's just read a few verses. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah, talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said. "Don't be afraid." When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. This is such a beautiful account, a beautiful story of something that took place. And maybe we could just touch a few little things in it and trust that the Lord might speak to our hearts to help us tonight to have a greater appreciation of Jesus Christ. If I were to ask you tonight, what does Jesus Christ mean to you? We probably would have all types of answers just as we were getting them here. We found that Jesus was a friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. We saw that Jesus, how great thou art. We heard some of the other hymns that were mentioned and little comments that were made. And all of us have a concept of Jesus Christ where we put him up there and we want to glorify him, we want to exalt him, because he is precious to us. We see in him a savior of sinners. We see in him one who wants to be our shepherd to guide us and to walk with us through life's valley. We might see in him one who wants to take us out into the garden and express to him all the beauty of his handiwork round about, as he refers so often in the scriptures to the vine, to the trees, to the green grass, to the what have you. And see, the Lord to us is one who is with us in everyday activity, and he's able to adapt to whatever we are and whatever we're doing, and we can find him present, we can find him a help, and we can find him precious to us at that moment as we're walking along this journey. And in this passage here, we have 3 different men who were special to the Lord Jesus: Peter, James, and John. These were tremendous men. And they, as they walked with Jesus Christ day by day, they were finding him special to them, and they were getting closer to him and understanding him a little more each day. Now, we must remember what they came from. These Jewish men, they were steeped in Jewish religion. They believed in the Old Testament. They believed in all those wonderful teachings. But when it came to Jesus Christ, the Jew, speaking about salvation and getting ready for the kingdom that's going to come, this was different to them. And it's at this point, just before this, that Jesus Christ goes into a different level of teaching with them. Before, up to this point, they were seeing Jesus Christ as the miracle worker. He was performing miracles at every hand, doing tremendous things. And their eyes were open and they saw His power. But now they're starting to realize that He is more than just a miracle worker and more than just a creator. He now is becoming a Savior. He's now able to be a forgiver of their sins. He's now taking that position where He says, I'm going to die, as He did in the 16th chapter, right at the latter part. He starts telling them about His death. He starts telling them about His resurrection. And this was hard for them to grasp because they were still thinking all the time, King, our leader, the one we follow. And He brings into them, before I can become your king, I must first die. I must be buried. And I must be brought forth from the dead before I can lead you in the position that you would like. This was a new teaching to them. He had made references to His death before. Destroy this temple and I'll build it again. They weren't able to think it through. We must remember to understand these men. They were Jewish. Their thinking was Jewish. They were not able to pick up what the Lord Jesus was teaching. And now He takes them, after telling them all these things and bringing them up to a level of teaching that was all new to them, He now takes them on a little journey up to Mount Hermon or wherever it was. Might have been some other place, but that's the thought where it was. And on that high mountain, He was changed before their very eyes. He was revealed to them as the true glory of God was just presented to them as they had never seen before. And they fell down with their faces to the ground because they couldn't look upon that sight. Do you remember the night or the day that you came to know Jesus Christ as your Savior? And your face was so full of joy that you had a glow on it? And you had a big smile on your face? And you came out and told something of what happened within your heart? You couldn't keep it in. There was just something about you that just everyone could see, hey, He got something, what a joy it is. Or have you ever spoken to someone who received Jesus Christ as their Savior? And all of a sudden, there's just a change. Brings to mind just a couple, not too many months ago, and I was speaking in the morning, and I don't remember even what I was speaking on, but I mentioned something, and there was something of a challenge about to really make sure that you have had a positive relationship with Jesus Christ. And that evening, we have our breaking of bread service, our worship service in the evening. And it was at that evening service that before it, I remember just being in the office, and there was a machine there, a copy machine, and I was copying something, and this lady and her husband came over to me. They're a young couple, they have a little girl, I believe it is, and can't even remember whether it's a girl or a boy they have, sorry. But anyway, they came up to me, and they said, we'd like to talk to you about something. And I said, sure, what is it? And they said, well, do you have time? And I said, well, let's take time. And I can remember it went into the meeting, and we sat down, and she told me, she said, I'm not sure that I'm a Christian. And so we sat down, and we talked with both of them. And I remember getting my Bible. It was out in the other auditorium, and coming back there. And we spent time and talked. And I said, why do you feel this way? She said, I'm really not sure. They've been coming to the chapel for several years. Everybody thought that she was a Christian and he was a Christian. So I remember just asking them very frankly, and I guess in my old age I get a little bit bolder than maybe what I used to be. And I think that's what happens with many of us, because life becomes very serious to us and death becomes very serious to us. And I said to him, "Bob, was there ever a time in your life when you were sure that Jesus Christ was your personal Savior?" He says, "Yes." He said, "I trusted Christ." I said, "Do you have any doubts now? If you..." And then I put the question to him. I said, "If you should die right now, where would you go, heaven or hell?" He said, "I'd go to heaven." I then turned to her and I said, "If you should die right now, where would you go? Would you be in heaven with Christ? Or would you not be there?" And she said, "I'm not sure." I said, "Why don't we make sure right now?" To make a long story short, together we prayed in a few moments after we had spoken to her. And she, that moment in prayer, she said, "Lord, I don't believe I ever really was convinced that I was a Christian. And right now, I want to accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior." Now the point I want to make is, that girl came up after we prayed and there was a glow on your face and she couldn't stop her smile. And after the service that evening, when it was all over with, she went to somebody and told them, she said, "I let Christ come into my heart." And she went to another person and said, "Tonight I made sure." And everybody was so shocked because they thought she was a Christian. But the glow was so real, it was so vibrant, that there wasn't any question about that she had been with the Lord. And that's why I just asked that question. You remember the time you got saved? Do you have that glow tonight? Do you have that joy, that happiness? Children, as you're here, you've heard all about Jesus. But I want to ask you, and I hope you're listening to me, that I want to ask you right now, have you made absolutely sure that you're going to be in heaven? And the only way you can get there is by your saying, "Lord Jesus, I've sinned, and right now I take your Son, Jesus Christ, as my Savior." And if you're an older person, you have to do the very same thing. And maybe you've been attending here a long time and you're not absolutely sure, and maybe you're afraid to say something tonight. Maybe you're afraid because you'll think, "People think I'm a Christian." This girl wasn't afraid. Even though she was older, she was going to be embarrassed by what people might have thought. But I'll tell you, the glow just took it away, and she acknowledged her faith in Jesus Christ, and I hope you will. And these three men were like this with Christ, and they were having a very special experience with Him. They were having an experience of being with Him there on a mountain, alone with Him, and they didn't know what was going to transpire. But this is what transpired. "Behold, there He was transfigured before Him, before them. His face shone like the sun, and His clothes became as white as light. And while He was there transformed before them, Peter, James, and John had a glimpse of something they never saw before." They got a glimpse of that one in all of His majesty and glory that they would never, never forget. Just like you and I got a glimpse, maybe not to that extent, the moment we let Jesus Christ come into our heart, and it has an effect upon it. the sad thing is that effect sometimes wears off and we don't let that constant glow and that just effulgence be seen all the time in our lives and in our testimony. Something else happened here on this Mount of Transfiguration. Because at the moment Jesus Christ was there in all of His glory, there was not only a test that was coming to these three men, but there was a teaching for them that the Lord Jesus wanted them to grasp because they didn't have a knowledge of this before. There appeared before these men Moses and Elijah. And we say, what was the significance of them appearing before them? Remember, they were still thinking Jewish. They were still thinking Old Testament. They were still thinking keeping the law. And now the lawgiver himself appears before them. Moses and Elijah represent two different things to the Jew. First of all, Moses represents the law was given by Moses. Moses was the one who gave the law as he went up into the mountain and God revealed it to him and he wrote it upon the tables of stone and came down and presented it to the people. Moses appeared as the one who gave the law. What did Elijah represent? To all of the Jews, there is a phrase that is used in the New Testament or in the Gospels, and it goes, the law and the prophets. The law and the prophets. And the prophets, they spoke. It was a spoken word. The law was a written word that was given and a message that God sent. But the prophet came along and he spoke the word of God. And it was the prophets that told forth the coming of the Messiah. And when we link these two together, the written law and the spoken word of the coming of the Messiah, this is what the Jew had at that time. Knowing the law was given, they should obey it, and they were looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. And this was the thing that God was doing in the midst of their thinking. They pondered, we understand the law of Moses, we're to keep it. We understand that the message of the prophet was that the king was going to come. But there in the midst of this, there was unveiled before these three Jesus Christ in all of His glory, in all of His majesty, and a voice we hear from heaven saying, this is the fulfillment of it all. This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. That phrase was given once before, and it was at the baptism of our Lord Jesus Christ. And at His baptism, we hear these words, this is My beloved Son. And Peter, James, and John could not understand it at that time. And now they hear these words again. And what I'm trying to show you is that the teaching that was given to these disciples was a building process. And the Lord Jesus in His ministry was constantly building upon truth, upon truth, upon truth. They could not behold and embrace the whole of Christianity at the beginning because they couldn't understand it. When they heard those words, leave your nets and follow Me and I'll make you to become fishers of men, they did it as in obedience to Jesus Christ, but they couldn't understand it. And they still could not understand the whole thing. It left them in confusion. And the only thing that Peter could think of at this moment is, Lord, let me build 3 tabernacles, shelters. Now, we must understand that this was not way out of line, because it appears right around this time was the observance of the Feast of Tabernacles. And at the Feast of Tabernacles, what they did was they would make booths, and it was harvest time. And it was a time for rejoicing. And when it came time in the Old Testament, as we study about the various feasts, the Feast of Tabernacle was the time when the harvest was in, and they would rejoice and give praise to God for what He has done. And now, it being around the time of the Feast of Tabernacles, that they said, let us just build these little coverings for you, Lord. The sun was hot at this time. And it's a hot sun over there. And it was at this time He wanted to give them protection. And He was putting Moses and Elijah and Jesus Christ on the same level. And we put Peter down for that, but we must understand, he saw the giver of the law. He saw the prophetic word that would tell of Jesus Christ, and he saw the fulfillment, and he had difficulty leaving the past and accepting the future. And this building and this truth that Jesus Christ was trying to present to these disciples was gradually getting and seeping into their thinking so that they could understand, yes, Lord, I see that You're the fulfillment of it all. During those years of the 3.5 years of the Lord Jesus' teaching, it took all this time for them to understand the message that He was trying to give. We think Western. If we were to move over to some other area, it would take a long time to transfer your thinking and accept the practices of another area. Try and think of it that way. These men were Jewish. It took them a long time to think more than just a geography situation and a cultural situation. This was their heritage. This was their religion. This was their life. And they're now wanting to embrace Jesus Christ, but it's difficult for them to leave everything behind. And yes, He wanted to make a shelter for all 3 of them because they were very special to Him. And the Lord Jesus, He really didn't have to say much to them. He said, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If You wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for You, one for Moses, one for Elijah. While He was still speaking, God in infinite grace and majesty handled the whole situation. Because in those beautiful words, He was able to transfer the thinking of trying to see which one should we choose and how should we handle this. And the 2 disappear. And out of that they see the glory of Jesus Christ and hear those words, this is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And when they got up from the ground, it says, they saw Jesus only. Something, when we get a glimpse of Jesus Christ, everything else grows dim in the light of His glory and grace, as one hymn writer put it. And that's what happens when a person comes to Jesus Christ. Everything else, all our struggles and all everything we've been trying to do, it disappears, and Jesus Christ means everything to us. That must have been a tremendous experience that night or that day when they were there with Him. It says they saw Jesus only. His garment was white. They never saw Him in a white garment. Oh, we always see pictures of Jesus Christ in a white garment, but I don't believe He wore a white garment. because the Lord Jesus would not wear a white garment in light of the fact that every Jewish man, if he was a true Jew in the Lord Jesus, he kept the Jewish law, and they wore probably a blue garment, and it probably had the tassels on the bottom. And that's why it's believed when this woman came to touch our Lord Jesus that she touched the hem of his garment. But at this instant, it became a white garment. Because before their very eyes, this person, this human being, this one who walked by the shores of Galilee, was transferred into the glorious person of Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, not just a lowly man. So he had a white garment here, and they saw him in this. It specifically says it was made white. What else does it say about him? His face shone like the sun. Remember Moses? He covered him, his face, because there was such a glow. Jesus Christ was this glow, and maybe that's why they bowed their head to the ground. They couldn't bear the sight of it. It was so beautiful. But I love to hear those words. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. God pronounced from heaven his endorsement of who this person really was. My Son, and this one did everything according to the law and the prophets. He never did anything that was out of line, always did those things which pleased the Father. And that's why he said, listen to him. He is the first one who ever fulfilled what I wanted done down here upon earth. Because way back, Adam and Eve sinned. And every person since that time sinned. But Jesus Christ came now and fulfilled it all. Isn't that tremendous? So that Jesus could say, I always did those things which pleased the Father. Jesus Christ was perfect. We're not. And yet he's called us all to be his servants and to be Christ-like. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being the form of God, it wasn't anything to be grasped at, to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant, made in the likeness of man, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, and that's a servant. And that's what Jesus Christ became. A servant of all servants, and as a servant, he served. And that's what Jesus Christ wanted these men, these three men, to catch. He says, I want you to be a servant. This is my servant. Follow him. And whatever he tells you to do, just do it. Follow him. So in this, I believe, we see not only just the story of the transfiguration, but we see the Lord Jesus exhorting them to get up, as we read in verse 7, don't be afraid, but just now they go down from the mountain. Jesus instructed them not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. We find this expression numerous times. When there was a miracle or something of this sort, he says, don't tell anybody. Now there were different ideas about this, why he would say this. But the one thing was, the Lord Jesus did not just perform miracles just for getting a glory or to try and build up his ego. The Lord Jesus performed miracles as he was responding to the faith of people. And now he's responding to these men. And the first thing they want to do is tell about it. But he wanted them to ponder it in their hearts so that they would have such a, a grasp of Jesus Christ, that it would affect their lives, not just to talk about it, but let it be seen and felt. And that's how He wants us to act as His servants. That Jesus Christ is seen in our life, and our actions are the actions of Christ Himself as we serve Him. I don't know about you, but I have great difficulty doing that because of I'm a human being. And if you ever live with me, you'd know, boy, that guy's got a lot of faults. Now, I know maybe you don't have faults here, but I do. Ask my wife if you want to really get a clear idea of what my faults are. Yes, we all have them. But to the best of our ability, by God's grace, we serve Him. And we try to be more Christ-like, and the Word itself washes our mind and helps us to live for Him. Now, we can serve the Lord in many different ways. We can preach, but there's something greater than preaching, and that is living. And there's a little phrase that says, love is to be willing to serve. And to serve is to be willing to love beyond all boundaries. To love. If you really love Jesus Christ, you should be willing to serve. And if you really want to serve Jesus Christ, then you should be willing to love the unlovely beyond all boundaries. And that's what Jesus Christ did. And that's the one we seek to emulate. He has left us the example. Tonight, let's try to catch a little glimpse of the glory of this blessed one, our Lord Jesus Christ. May He be precious to us, and may we serve Him with all the strength we have, because He is coming soon, and He may come tonight, tomorrow, maybe next year, who knows. Let's serve Him well until that time. Ruth and I really appreciate the privilege of coming out here tonight to just be with you. You people have been very special to us. Sure, we don't write back and forth very often, but through the years, either through Brother Ed or Marge or somebody would ask about us, or when my father was living, as he was married to one here, Gertrude, why, we would hear about the people of Blaisdell, and we could always feel a warmth and a love. And that was very special to us. And so we thank you for that. It's nice to feel loved and to be loved. And we just pray that God would bless this assembly as He has. And trust that the young people and the children, as they grow up, might just embrace Christianity and love our Savior and realize that's the greatest thing in all of life, far more important than anything else. And I trust it'll always be that way to us too. Let's just pray.